thecooperageproject.org. And from listeners like you.
How important are these spaces for wildlife, for ourselves?
What are we looking at now in the political climate?
Are you able to share with us your experience with the vaccination itself? What kinds of lettuce do you grow?
Asking the questions that need to be asked, having the conversations that need to be heard. Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk, Wednesday night at 7.
That you have a couple of pigs that live in your house.
There's three right now. There's Wilbur, Joaquin, and Princess.
Welcome to the Local Edition News and Information, keeping you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm Jason Dole. I'll be your host this evening. Coming up, I'll be talking to citizen activist Catherine Scott. Tomorrow, Sullivan County Legislature, during their reorganizational meeting, will vote on who will be the chair for the legislature for the next 2 years in Sullivan County. And Catherine Scott's part of a group of local activists who took out an ad in local papers asking to, quote, end the chaos. We'll find out more about that coming up in the second half of the program. Of course, the biggest story right now in Sullivan County and everywhere, especially across the Hudson Valley in New York State, Northeast Pennsylvania, across the country, it's the rise in COVID cases. COVID cases are skyrocketing. Sullivan County, as of last week, was distributing KN95 masks that were given to the county by the state. Over 34,000 of those masks are distributing last week. Distribution's going to pick up again. And now there's also going to be home test kits for Sullivan County residents. So to find out the details on these latest developments and what the next steps are and what local residents like you need to know, we've got John Little, Commissioner, Sullivan County Health and Family Services, joining us once again. Welcome back to the program, John. How are you doing?
I'm good, Jason. Always good to be with you. Thanks.
So first, let's just pick up with the mask, because that's the thing that people might be most familiar with, because we were talking about that last week. There was 2 days of distribution before the holiday set in at the transportation building, which is up there by the county airport. Are there still KN95 masks from that batch to distribute to the public?
Yeah, there are. As you said, last week we received 34,500 masks. We've managed to distribute 21,000 of those so far, and these are the KN95 masks, not the N95 surgical grade, but they are more capable, which has been a topic lately. I know folks have been wondering about how valid or how useful masks are. Masks are still a proven public health tool, but the transmissibility of the Omicron variant in particular has alerted us to, making more use of the surgical masks and the KN95. So we have them from the state. Like I said, we distributed 21,000 of them before the new year. So we have 13,500 more to go. We're expecting more in the future. Our next public distribution of masks will be this Wednesday, January 5th. It will be at the County Transportation Building, like you said, near the airport, 401 County Road 183 in Swan Lake. That'll be from 11 to 4. And aside from what we're making available to the public, we've been distributing to housing complexes, town halls, local libraries. So there's if anybody out there needs to get a large quantity of masks for their organization, that's something that can be addressed through our Community Assistance Center. And that number is 845-807-0925.
Right, which has been a good number to keep in mind for the last year and a half or so, for connecting to a lot of resources, especially around the pandemic. Let's just give that number again in case people are going for a pen.
Sure. Again, it's the Emergency Community Assistance Center. Like you said, we've been providing services for folks, whether it's food or help with getting medicine while they're in isolation and quarantine. And the number to call for that or for the masks is 845-807-0925.
That's right, 807-0925. And so these masks, so again, you're saying if somebody needs like a large quantity of these masks for their organization, that's worth a call. But if it's just somebody picking up masks for their household, you know, for their family, they could just go to that distribution site if they just bring proof of residency, correct?
Right. And again, that'll be this Wednesday, January 5th from 11 to 4 at the transportation building.
That's great. Okay, so now onto tests. I mean, as there's so many cases, and more and more people are going to be looking for tests. These tests can be kind of expensive. I actually went to look for at-home tests at a local chain store that has a lot of stuff, and over in Liberty, and they were sold out of them. I actually drove the other direction. I drove over to Hancock, New York, and found them at the same chain store there. They didn't have them in Liberty, though. So as more and more people think they might have symptoms and need to do these tests, it's getting harder to find these tests. So what can you tell us about the home testing situation in the county?
Yeah, they're definitely in high demand right now. There's no question about that. So that's, you know, with everything we've seen with supply chain disruptions over the last couple of years, you know, this is part of that whole situation that we're dealing with. We are getting home test kits from the state, and test kits have already been distributed to Sullivan BOCES and to other BOCES around the state. The state's priority for the test kits that they've acquired was to get them to schools to help schools get open and stay open as much as possible after the winter break. But we have 3,388 at-home over-the-counter test kits coming to us via the Department of Health and Homeland Security and Emergency Services. We don't have a date confirmed for the arrival of those yet, but we're told it's going to be sometime this week. And as soon as they're received, we'll put out plans to distribute them. We're going to have some of them that we're going to save for our EMS providers, first responders around the county, but most we will make available to the public.
Probably in a similar way as what you're doing with the KN95 masks?
Yeah, that's right. We want to make sure that we're getting them to the people that need them most, so we're probably going to put out some additional, you know, advice and requests as far as, you know, making sure that we're getting these to the folks that are most in need, most vulnerable, essential workers. Those are the kind of folks we want to prioritize, but we will make a general public distribution available as much as we can. And, you know, the state has told us that they're working on acquiring more for distribution through local emergency management offices. So we'll be continuing to work on that even after this first distribution.
And as we get this info, we'll be giving it to folks too. So we'll be looking for it from you, and we'll be passing it right along to the listener. For now, and I realize you're not public health. You're heading up Sullivan County Health and Family Services. But I still want to ask, in case you know, if somebody is experiencing symptoms right now, what are the steps they should take at first?
Yeah, no, I'm actually really glad you asked, because no, I am not. I'm not a master of public health. I'm not a nurse. Thankfully, we have a lot of people that are much smarter on this than me that are working the problem. But it's something I'm definitely paying attention to, especially with, you know, my background and experience with emergency management. So, you know, the things that folks need to understand is, number one, our hospitals, urgent cares, they're all very busy right now. And it's not just because that we are seeing an increase in the number of cases. There's also people that are just, you know, what you would call worried. Well, there are folks that, you know, I think I may have been exposed, and I'm not sure what to do. I think the important thing for everybody to understand right now is that we have an extreme level of community transmission. We have three times the number of active cases today that we did during the original peak in April. But it's also not a time to panic, because what we're seeing is that the hospitalizations are roughly the same as that period of time. So even though we've tripled the number of cases, the number of folks that are in the ICU, for example, is three with that are active COVID cases. So what that's telling us is that vaccinations are definitely working. And of the 22 people that are hospitalized in general, only five of those 22 are fully vaccinated. So again, we're seeing the vaccinations work. The bottom line right now is that because there are so many people nervous, and we do have spread across the county, even though those numbers are, or even though those folks, not all of them are extremely sick, because they've gotten vaccinated, there's still a lot out there. It's putting a lot of pressure on the hospital. So one thing that in discussions I've had with Garnet, with Crystal Run, is we are recommending folks that if you have an at-home test kit and you test positive at home, you should really follow the CDC guidance to isolate yourself. You should assume that you're positive at that point. Don't go out and get a test. Don't try to get a PCR test because you're just going to put more pressure on the hospitals, more pressure on yourself. Of course, if you do start experiencing symptoms, you should consult your primary care physician. And if you need, you know, urgent medical care, you should go get urgent medical care. But in terms of how the testing and everything is playing out right now, if you're sick, you should stay home. You should isolate. You should protect yourself and others from additional spread of the virus. And I think those are the most important messages about what to do if I think I'm positive right now.
And then just to get you to continue to talk about that, given your experience with emergency planning, giving your experience on the ground here in Sullivan County and this perspective that you're taking on this, that was some very detailed advice, and I thank you for that. But, like, I guess slightly bigger pictures, we're heading into, like, as we are currently on this peak of the entire pandemic, and taking what you're saying about what that means for hospitalizations, that things are different than they were a year ago. Big picture, how are you feeling right now? What are you seeing of this current phase of the pandemic? What are you thinking is going to happen in the short to midterm here?
Yeah, I think we have good reason to be concerned with the number of cases in general, just because that's putting a lot of pressure on the hospital. And our urgent care facilities and all of our providers who have, you know, already been through a lot over the last 2 years. But again, I don't think it's time for panic either. Because if folks are listening to the advice that has been given all along, that once the vaccine came available, the right thing to do was to take it. The folks that are getting vaccinated, and we're up over 75% of the adult population in Sullivan County is vaccinated now. You know, we're seeing that the vaccine is working. So, and you need to get boosted. You need to get your teenagers boosted now that that's been authorized. You need to get our young kids vaccinated with their first and second series. But the vaccines are working. So the things that are really kind of keeping me up at night right now is just the total volume and, you know, what that's doing to our first responders and our healthcare providers. And then I would also go so far as to say that contact tracing at this point, it's become so pervasive. We're starting to see other counties that are stopping contact tracing. I think we're not that far away from that because it's just not doing much good at this point. And we would much rather focus our efforts on getting more people vaccinated as quickly as we can.
Well, you know, I was actually wondering that this weekend, and, you know, I didn't even think to ask, but it was something I was curious about with things being as widespread as they are now. I'm like, how can you even trace at this point? So the county is still engaging with contact tracing for right now, but that may change.
We're still doing the best we can in accordance with Department of Health guidance, and we get support from the state in our contact tracing efforts. But like a lot of other counties around the state, you know, the sentiment that we have that we're starting to voice up to Albany is that, you know, at a certain point, it's just so pervasive that it's just not beneficial anymore. And it's a waste of effort to continue to contact trace. So, you know, we're trying to hold that system together as best we can. But at a certain point, I think it's going to be time to kind of cut bait on that and really move on to just focusing on getting the vaccination message out there and making the vaccine as easy to get as we possibly can.
Yeah, and I think it's just one more indicator of where we are and how where we are now is different, both in good terms and bad terms of where we were, like, say, a year ago from now. That this is, it's still the same pandemic, but it's a different variant and it's a different day.
Yeah, absolutely right. And if there is some cause for, you know, optimism, I think, you know, what we're seeing initially out of South Africa, where Omicron seemed to hit first, is that it spread like wildfire, but then it also flamed out pretty quick. So, you know, hopefully as we've finished up the holiday season and so many visitations with families, travel across the country, you know, now we're in the dead season as far as, that's not the best term, but we're right in the down season for travel. So, you know, you would hope that will start to slow the spread down and this will flame out in the near future. So, we still have to be very, very vigilant to what's going on, but there's also reason to be optimistic for, you know, what's ahead of us.
Well, I appreciate you giving us this info and being so frank about it. Is there anything else from your department, from Sullivan County Health and Family Services, that you want to make sure folks know that we didn't touch on?
Well, I keep hitting on vaccines, but just to make sure everyone understands You know, if you're trying to figure out how to get it, or if you already got it and you want to know where to get your booster, the easiest thing for us to make available to folks is you could go to the county website, sullivanny.us. You go to the top of the website, there's a big red button to click for clinics that we offer in Sullivan County Public Health, and there's a big blue button to click on what pharmacies are offering the vaccine right now for you, and what different, you know, whether it's Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, et cetera. So go find the big red button or the big blue button on the county website to get your vaccine or your boost.
SullivanNY.us at SullivanNY.us, and those red and blue buttons are at the top of every single page at the county website, SullivanNY.us. You literally cannot miss them if you find the county website. John, before we go, just want to ask quick, how are those CDs that you picked up at the Radio Catskill Music Sale? How are they doing for you?
That was the best part of my whole holiday shopping experience. I got to tell you, I took my father-in-law with me. He had a great time. It was a lot of fun to flip through CDs. It's a lot more fun to get them in your hands than to scroll down through your phone. So I enjoyed it a lot, and I look forward to doing it again.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much again for joining us here on the Local Edition and getting us up to date on masks, testing, vaccinations, and everything. John Little for Sullivan County Health Family Services, thank you.
Thanks, Jason. Always appreciate it.
This is the Local Edition. We're not done yet. We have our next live guest lined up, going to be coming up right after this break. And again, once again, that was John Little, Commissioner at Sullivan County Health and Family Services and the County Resource Line. Dealing with a lot of these issues is 807-0925. That's 845-807-0925. The county website, one more time, is sullivanny.us. This is Radio Catskill. It's the Local Edition. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Radio Catskill. Public health officials encourage you to get vaccinated against COVID-19. Vaccines are widely available for all adults as well as children age 5 and up. A COVID booster shot is encouraged for teens and adults who got their vaccines at least 6 months ago, and CDC recommendations allow for mix and match dosing of COVID booster shots. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Find a vaccination site at vaccines.gov.
If you're a morning person, I invite you to join me, Sonia Hedlund, on Ballads and Banjos, 7 to 8 a.m. every Saturday morning, right here on WJFF. Music from all around the world, as well as good old traditional folk music, Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m.
Hey, you want to hear a secret? Every week, the Retro Cocktail Hour digs deep into the record library for space-age bachelor pad music, tiki tunes from the 1950s, TV crime jazz, swingin' soundtracks, and more. It's not your father's record collection. Oh, wait. It is your father's record collection. The Retro Cocktail Hour on WJFF Radio Catskill in Jeffersonville, New York.
Wednesday night at 8 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, public radio for the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania.
Hey, welcome back to the Local Edition, news and information to keep you connected in the Catskills and Northeast Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jason Dole. And tomorrow morning, I think fairly early tomorrow morning, Sullivan County Legislature is doing a reorganizational meeting, and they will vote on the chair for the legislature for the next 2 years. So again, to be clear, the legislators, the people that occupy the seats of legislature, that's not changing. But the legislature has to vote on who's going to be the chair. In the running, it's current Chairman Rob Doherty and District 7 Legislature Joe Perrello. And there was an ad taken out in local papers on this issue, asking to, quote, end the chaos, end quote. Here to talk about what they think that chaos is at the Sullivan County Legislature, citizen activist Catherine Scott, returning to the program. Hello, Kat. How are you doing?
Hi, Jason. Good. Thanks for having me.
So, I think that the last time that we had you on the show was to talk about the adult care center, but that also involved talking about the legislature as well. And now there's this ad out asking to end the chaos at the legislature, listing a series of wrongs that the current chairman, Rob Doherty, has done. Can you expand on the ad? And from your perspective, what's been going on at the legislature that makes you think that this should change, that the chair should change?
Sure. I have been, doing this for almost 2 years, since July of 2020, and I've been a very vocal advocate for the care center. And during that time, a lot of people in Sullivan County have approached me publicly, privately, through social media, and have voiced their own concerns. And the concerned citizens of Sullivan County took out that ad. Talking about the chaos that has been brought down upon Sullivan County in our legislature since Rob Doherty has been the chairman. It's been a really bad situation. And I think what it really boils down to is a lack of transparency in government. It is really bad government that we've seen happen. A lot of corruption, lack of transparency, a lack of communication with fellow legislators. Mr. Doherty often boasts that he has 5 votes, which means that he has at least 4 other legislators who will clearly vote with him no matter the subject, which is a problem because those legislators work for their constituents and not Rob Doherty. We've seen him lash out at fellow legislators during public meetings, make accusations against fellow legislators. There's been investigations that have gone on. He is belittling to women, whether it's women who run departments within the county, fellow legislator Nadia Reich, women coming and speaking out publicly during public comment. He's reduced public comment. He doesn't want to hear from the public because he doesn't think he answers to us. And that's not what the foundations of democracy are built on. So, yeah, I think him becoming chair for another 2 years spells disaster for Sullivan County. And I think that what we can highlight is most recently what came to light is the lease that was negotiated, that he negotiated without giving any details to his fellow legislators with Hatsola Air for the airport. And that's just one more thing in a list of many things. November 2nd, when he and the county attorney and 2 other county employees went to the town of Liberty during their board of assessment review meeting for the tax assessor and tried to intimidate them to take the care center back off the taxes to give them an exemption. And we've seen the officials there, employees there who were witness to this, who were unfortunately subject to this intimidation and bully, fill out statements, signed statements that they've submitted. There's an investigation going on as to Mr. Doherty's behavior and Mr. McGuire's behavior, the county attorney. It's unacceptable. It's really unacceptable. So we've asked people to call their legislators, but specifically to call Mike Brooks, who's District 2, Nicholas Salamone District. Mike Brooks is District 3, Nick Salamone, District 4, George Conklin, District 5, and Alan Sorensen, District 9. Now, Alan Sorensen's the longest sitting legislator in Sullivan County right now and currently, and he knows better. He knows what good governance looks like. He knows what good government is and what bad government is. He works for Orange County, and I'll bet you Steve Newhouse isn't doing the same thing that Rob Doherty's doing. We expect these people to do the right thing tomorrow. And that support Joe Perrello, who has been a really solid legislator and who runs his meetings quite differently than Mr. Doherty does. And Joe Perrello has changed where public comment is in his meetings so that the public can comment on resolutions before his committee votes on it.
Right.
He's also asked his department head to explain each resolution before the public comments so that they can hear our input before they vote. And I think that is really telling about who he is as a leader.
And he's from the same party as the current chair, right?
Yeah, this is not about politics. No, Joe Perrella's a Republican, Rob Doherty's a Republican. All of these guys are Republicans. This isn't about politics. This is about principle. You know, this is about who they are as public servants. You know, does their service matter to them?
Right.
That's the question.
So
when you are a public servant, who do you serve? And does that service matter to you? And right now, some of those legislators are not serving their constituents.
And now some of the points that you brought up that, you know, that you're talking to me about, I assume those are similar ones that were in the ad, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just want to let you know. Well, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was just going to, you know, also covered in the ad was the attempted move of the 911 control center from under public safety to the sheriff's department, which was really, there was a lot of resistance from local fire and EMS personnel when that whole thing happened in January of 2020. The care center, which had a huge pushback. The certified home health agency which was a bad deal, and they actually ended up reversing, trying to privatize that. So there's a lot of things that happened.
These are the points that were raised in the ad saying, you know, let's end the chaos, and you don't want Rob Doherty to be the chair again. We actually reached out to the chairman for a response today. Radio Catskill reached out for a response today about this ad, and he responded by saying, quote, "I'm not into having a conversation with Kat Scott because she has misled people with this ad. I'm happy to come on with WJFF another time and go over the claims point by point in an open dialogue." So what's your reaction to his response?
I would ask a local fireman or ambulance volunteer, EMS personnel, I would ask a county employee, am I misleading anybody? No, I'm not. This is what I've witnessed by going to legislative meetings for the last year and a half. This is his behavior. It's on video. Go watch the tapes. You can watch him belittle women. You can watch him call, say really rude and divisive things to other legislators. He throws these little, like, temper tantrums, you know, when things aren't going his way. If I'm misleading people, it's only in his world. In the real world, people know what's going on.
And
the man's a disaster. He's chaos.
I've got just two more questions for you. We've only got 2 minutes. The first is, you've made it clear what you want to happen tomorrow. What do you expect will actually happen tomorrow with this vote?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it comes down to whether or not these four men have consciences, right? Whether it's on their conscience. I don't know how you can be an elected official and have another elected official walk around bragging that they've got your vote. So it comes down to them. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I do know at 8 o'clock in the morning in the back parking of the government center, there's going to be a bunch of us, and we're going to be driving around the government center honking our horns and protesting. So anyone who would like to come out and join us, come on out. We'll be there right across from the bus station.
Now, Kat, let's say that Rob Doherty is reelected as the chair of the Sullivan County Legislature. What will be next for you at that point?
Same thing I've been doing for the last year and a half. Staying informed, trying to shed light on this corruption and chaos, and being an active citizen. I mean, when a citizen's job in a democracy doesn't end at a voting booth, right? You go in and you vote, but then your job is to stay informed and to stay on top of elected officials. So that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my duty as a citizen, and I encourage everyone else in this county to do the same, because there's a lot of problems in this county. And as long as you're asleep at the wheel, there's a lot of people getting away with murder. So we need people to wake up and pay attention. And I know it's hard now because of COVID and how the world is in chaos, but do you know where people have the most control right now? That's in their backyard. Your voice is loudest in Monticello than it is in Albany or Washington or anywhere else. So if you want to affect change, do that here in your backyard. Pay attention.
Talking to citizen activist Catherine Scott here on the Local Edition. You can find her on Facebook with Chat with Kat. And also, you can find her in the parking lot of the Government Center in Monticello tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Kat, I want to thank you so much for giving us this update on where you are with all this right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the time.
All right. Have a good night. And we are going to be on top of this story, just like we've been on top of all these different events happening the last couple of years out of the Sullivan County Legislature. And we've got the reporters who we are in touch with from the local papers will be covering this. They'll be checking in with us tomorrow. And then also, again, you don't want to miss Wednesday on the local edition. We'll have Leah Mayo from the River Reporter on to give us a full update as well.